What we're looking to do is to produce literature booklets to effectively help everyone in every sphere. So we will look to produce a governmental booklet to put into a booklet form so that everyone will have a copy of the governmental things that we need to understand. So some of that will be the basics of government now, and then you know, we have some other things in terms of some of the how-tos, but ultimately we'd like to pull that together in a booklet form, just like we have Fresh Start and other booklets to give us help when it comes to these things. And then everyone's got something they can refer to when it comes to it. We're going to look at, I just want to tie together the whole thing of discipleship groups. When we met together last as a 12, a couple of previous times, we've looked at where are we, what are the things that we're doing, and what do we need to prioritize. And there's a list of things that we have, but we felt that discipleship groups actually were the key priority, that then all the other things will then be in place, because we have people already that we can have as part of discipleship groups. And then when people exchange their lives and the exchange is functioning in that way, then they can be added to something. Then when we have the departure lounge and Fresh Start and belongings and all those things in place, then people can go through that to be part of the groups. But if you haven't got the groups, then actually you haven't got anything for them to go into. So we have people, so we're going to look at producing groups. So all our groups will be governmental, you know, because they all carry the authority of God to be able to outwork the things we're doing. So in a sense, they may be relational, and we've had feedback from all the different mountains about what the flavor of their group might look like in a sense. And so some of those things have been posted on Slack, and we'd encourage you to put the rest of them on Slack so everyone can see, you know, what is it that each individual group has a particular flavor of. Now, to put this into perspective, we know we have certain scriptures that are foundational. You know, Genesis 1:27 about being blessed, fruitful, multiplying, subduing, and ruling. That is the same mandate that a group will have as we have as individuals to do all those things. You know, we have Romans 8:19 about revealing the sons of God, and the whole creation will come into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. The groups will reflect that. Isaiah 61 is essentially our foundational scripture, our DNA of scripture. Good news, binding up the brokenhearted, liberty, freedom, favorable year of the Lord, blessing. That, again, is part of what will be reflected through the groups. So essentially we've been given two fiery scrolls. They give us our key mandates, as it's been said already, to raise up and equip Joshua generation so they can mentor the next generation, to be responsible, to prepare for and receive our part of the billionfold harvest, because we're not going to receive the whole billionfold harvest unless there's a massive population explosion in the Southwest. But the world, in a sense, has to be ready. And actually, we do have a part in equipping other places in the world as well to fulfill this, which is the whole Engaging God program is about that. So we have a blueprint. This is the latest outworking of that, in the sense of the different aspects of it. It describes the things that we do, the structure of how we do it governmentally. And if you look down, it's that cone shape with God at the center, and then everything foundationally supporting an increase of government and of peace, and an outworking of the things that were in the spheres that we have. And they're all different spheres of government and different effects, but they all work together. And the fact that they're going up and increasing is a key to understand. So how do discipleship groups help us fulfill our blueprint and mandate? That's what we need to ask, because if they don't, then we shouldn't be doing them. You know, but we believe that God has shown us that meeting together to disciple is part of how this will be done. So how do they fit within our blueprint? How are they structured? How will they function? What do we do? So we have this equipping track. Now, this is the fully formed thing, but obviously we haven't got all the bits in it. But essentially, exchange, departure lounge, groups will be on the equipping track. That's essentially how it will work. we've got to see how that actually fits together. So the context of these groups are discipleship. Fulfilling the blueprint to do those things in discipleship with each other. So it's all about encouraging, supporting, helping each other to be part of that, fulfilling it. So it's about laying the governmental foundations for the Embassy of Heaven, the structure of that. If the structure is there within groups, then the structure will be in everything. So everything patterns after the same basic thing, relational government. And once we see how this works together, we'll see how those groups will actually fulfill the roles within a much wider setting. You know, we can look at one group and see it in isolation, but actually you have to see it as part of a whole. And when every group is functioning, like every part of the body is functioning, then the whole will function. It's just right now we're going to function in a small area, but that area will increase until eventually it will be part of bringing the rule of God in an embassy of heaven on earth. So essentially, you could sum it up as the developing the relationships with God, each other, and the world around us. And we need to keep those three things in view all the time. And you can't separate them, because without a relationship with God, our relationship with each other will be dysfunctional, and our relationship with the world will have no purpose. So within all those three, they'll work together. So essentially, we have the world, which we will engage with through the exchange, and the seven platforms and the seven sub-platforms of those, which we've yet to define, but we have the basic understanding of what they are. That will then feed into the departure lounge. That will then, people will become part of the ecclesia of the church. They will be part of a group, and that group will engage the equipping track. So essentially, that's the flow that we're looking to see take place. Right now, we're going to focus on getting the people we already have in the ecclesia to be part of the equipping track and part of a group. Obviously, some people are doing Fresh Start. Once we get the belonging thing up together, you know, everyone will be able to have a copy of that. So we will give that and make that available to people we have already. So the departure lounge, just to reiterate, will include Fresh Start, basic foundations relationally, as people are doing. It's great that so many people are doing that, really encouraging. Introduction to ministry, that would be potentially through a live bus court session or whatever the person needs. If there's a particular need that comes up during that period, we want to encourage people to participate. Discovering belonging, so that people can see, actually, do I fit here? Do I really feel God wants me to be part of this? Do I fit within this sense thing of doing? And essentially then a group interface, so we can actually find where people are going to go. So for a new believer, that might be different from an existing believer. So for a new believer, a place to discover family, a place to discover basic knowledge of who we are and how we do things, so that they can have an understanding of some of the questions when they look around and see things going on, and also some of the things that they don't necessarily see, but we can help them with. A place to be assigned to a group as we seek God about where people should be, so that then that's to help people find their identity and purpose, and eventually they choose a group. Because initially, new believers are unlikely to really understand everything about our seven mountains. You might produce a wonderful glossy brochure that attracts someone's eye. Oh, I'd like to be in that group. But then when they get in it and then they discover their redemptive gift and whatever, they feel, oh, I don't seem to really fit here. And that's great, because we want people to find a place where they will fit, but we realize that not everyone's going to find that place immediately. But they can still be part of a group that will help them to do that. So we're not competing for numbers, and, well, they're ours. We're going to keep them. You know, we want everybody to find their place and to find their position where they feel they can outwork who they are. So for an existing believer, that will be the same, to discover who we are, but at a deeper level. That existing believers have a mindset and a way of doing church that may well need to be reorientated into how we do things, so that will be part of that. They will have more of an understanding of what our mandate, blueprint, vision and purpose is, so that they can feel, hey, yeah, I really feel called to be part of this. So that we will help them to find where they fit, and they will make a choice to which group they'd like to be in. Now, they may well choose again later on, and this, you know, this isn't a we are restricting people, but we have to introduce people and give them an opportunity to begin to find out. And those things do change. And a lot of people, and I know talking to a few people, it's been like, okay, but I feel this, but the group is this. And just because you are a part of a bench of three of a group does not actually mean necessarily that your personal connection will be the same. And you have to be open to that, you know, because someone said, well, I'm drawn to the eagle, but this is over here. You know, well, that's okay. You know, and you have to ask God, where should I belong? You know, so don't feel, oh, well, I'm part of this mountain, but personally, I've got something that draws me over there that I couldn't be over there. You could, you know. So be open for that. How are the groups structured? Well, in a sense, God showed us this in terms of he structured the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, a bunch of rabble with a slave mentality, and he tried to do something about that by bringing some order. So he formed them into families and clans and tribes, and he gave them purpose. He restored their identity and their purpose, and they all had function. They knew that they had a part to play in the overall. And of course, when they became part of a nation, they all had their own bit of the land. But even in that, it was still part of the overall. You know, and they came together corporately at times with that outworking. So we have that sort of pattern where we see that in the children of Israel. In the wilderness, we also see it in the New Jerusalem. 12 tribes organized around purpose, growth, and destiny. Presently, we have 10 mountains, and I believe we're going to see some more in the future. So where they were actually arranged, four groups of three around the tabernacle. So that was the basic shape. And interestingly, four of those tribes were actually the major tribes, and they had their own standard or banner. Guess what was on them? Lion, ox, eagle, man. You know, and you can look it up and see the colors and different things. Now, they weren't arranged in necessarily the same order as we are. We're going with the revelation that God has shown us, but they were in that basic form. The others still had ensigns to represent them. They had these sort of pennants and things to represent. Each one had some sort of identity that they had. So I believe God wants to arrange us, our mountains, into those families, clans, and eventually tribes. Now, you know, we probably aren't going to call them that because it's not exactly what we talk about, is it? Well, you're part of this tribe. Although, you know, they were the worldwide message tribe, and there were other things that saw themselves in that form. But so never say never, but I'm sure God will show us what to say. They're going to form sort of the basic discipleship groups. Their new believers will then find which tribe or which group they feel that their identity is with. So those are our seven mountains, the good news, freedom, health, harmony, blessing, media, enterprise, and then seven, far, and exchange, which are other, and we need to see two more eventually. So we're going to align them around the four faces of God, three tribes on each face, carrying the prophetic, priestly, governmental, legislative perspective. But that's just a guide, you know. We've seen individually that you all have your own flavor of what that will mean for you. And it isn't that we're going to be prescriptive and say how it's going to work. That has to be outworked in the people who are in the groups and how you reflect what that will be. But essentially, there are some basic principles that we need to all understand. So essentially, we're looking to have those four initial groups with potentially up to, say, let's say 12 people or so in them. 12 is a good number, as sort of Jesus had. 12 disciples, and then ultimately we'll look for three people to facilitate those groups, but we'll start with one and two if necessary, to actually start getting them going. We're going to look to provide training and support and equipping for that. It isn't like you're going to be cast adrift with no help, you know. It's like we will provide the level of support that you feel that you need. We obviously don't want to over support so that you become dependent on someone telling you what to do, which, you know, is the sort of conundrum. How much support do you give, and how much do you encourage people that you can hear for yourself? Well, we know we can all hear God for ourselves, but to do that, sometimes it requires some support, and we want to put the right level of support in. And we will be looking to provide all the resources in terms of equipping, transformation booklets, and all the other things that will be needed to help the equipping track run effectively in the future. So essentially, that's what the initial picture will look like. Four groups: Rand, Lion, Ox, Eagle, Man. And eventually, you know, we would want other groups to form until there's 12 groups. But because we've only got 10 mountains at the moment, that might take a while. But that's the general desire. And then we're really looking then for then the same pattern to form around those groups as people get added. And people can get added in lots of different ways. Obviously, people can get added because of evangelism and sharing and coming and all the different things. Some people will come because they come through the process and find and choose that group. Some people will be assigned to that group until they find their own. So eventually we would like lots of subgroups forming until we have the same basic pattern replicated, which effectively can run a city of refuge. You know, because essentially you could have a 1,000 people, you could have 100 people. Right now, with the people we have benches of 3, 7, and 12, we would expect each of those groups eventually to have a 3, 7, and 12. And that will be those that are responsible for how that outworks in a wider setting within the framework of a city of refuge in the future. So at the moment, these are the groups that we have. We have Man, Good News, Harmony, and the Seven. The Eagle, Freedom, Absolute Resources, and Media. The Lion, the Exchange and Enterprise, and the Ox, Blessing and Health. And, of course, we need two more eventually. So that's where we are right now. So we're going to look to have four groups that are a reflection of that. Now, of course, obviously, there's three different sorts in some of those areas that are going to have to work together and cooperate and agree. But then, if we're in the same sort of face, then there's going to be something there that connects us, and we'll find that we're able to flow in that. And eventually, we will have each group having its own mountain, having its own group, so that it looks like that, and then we sort of move forward. Now, I don't know how long that'll take. Some of it will be determined by how long it takes to get the exchange functioning fully and how we're all involved in that. Because essentially, a group will need to interface with the world and to engage in reaching people. What it isn't there to do is to say, right, we've got an exchange and it's all their responsibility to feed us with people. Because the central part of the exchange is actually the ecclesia itself, which means all the groups need to have a desire to reach others and to multiply. So they're not there to become safe, comfortable places that we'll all love each other but we'll never grow. Because if you're going to grow, then you're going to have people that go from one group and start another one. You know, so you're always going looking at that from beginning. How do we multiply? So how do we equip people to start another group? And that may mean that one person feels, I'm a group starter. So I will go and start another group. And then when that group gets to the point of multiplying, I'll go and start another group. And then I'll equip other people to do it. Some actually meet people, no, I feel I want to stay here, but I'm going to equip people here, and then they'll go and start the next groups. So there's lots of different ways this might work. I'm sure we'll work it out as we go. So what is the purpose of the groups? Discipleship, relationships with supernatural equipping to discover destiny. So we're putting into practice everything that we're learning to do in a practical way and in a relational way so we can experience the vision that God's given us and outwork it. The values of that vision can be practiced, because values that aren't practiced aren't values at all. You know, we do what we value, and we value what we do, and those things then work together. So essentially, to help each person engage in the equipping track relationally, which means they're going to need people to help and support. So all of us can become blessed, fruitful, equipped in those things, so that we can be the Joshua generation and be ready for that harvest to come, live in and out the manifest presence of God. So learn how to live in dual realms and to rule individually, corporately. everyone to find and fulfill their destiny. So this is outworking our vision statements, effectively, to be free, to see, know, be, do, go, to freely give by equipping and disciple others. You're not really a disciple until you've made a disciple and they've made a disciple, someone once said. Because if you have not given away what you've got and they have not given away what they've got, then you've not taught them to do what you should be doing. So essentially, it needs grandchildren to be fully functioning disciples of Jesus. So we all need to give away what we've been given. So a key purpose is growth and multiplication. You know, and we must keep that in mind at the beginning. We want to actually become a tribe of people, not just a group of people. And that will mean that we have to grow and we have to multiply. So we have to replicate ourselves, you know, which means equipping people to, you know, I'm just thinking of science fiction things then flipped across my mind, replicators. But therefore, we have to replicate benches of 3, 7, and 12. You know, that's how we will grow benches of 3, 7, and 12, because we will do it through the groups. So maturity as God's sons will come in relationship, so we can all take responsibility for all the things that we're called to do as sons. And that's our individual parts to play, as well as what we do corporately. So essentially, eventually, those 12 tribes will become the foundations of the Embassy of Heaven, that government. So the context of groups, discipleship, therefore developing relationships with God, each other, and the world around us, fellowship, serving, destiny, supernatural lifestyle, multiplication. Discipleship really is fellowship, and fellowship has got, to me, a completely wrong connotation. Fellowship actually means two fellows in the same ship. You know, simply, it means you have something in common. Now, what you've got in common is you're in the same group, and you're associated with the same face, and eventually will be associated with a mountain. Those are the things that you will have in common. You may be very different in other things. So this is not about making clones of people. It's about helping people find who they are and outwork it. And we do that when we come together. So if we're spending time in the same place, like a group every couple of weeks, then we will build relationship. We'll learn to share our heart with each other. We'll learn to encourage each other and support each other as we get to know each other. You know, in other words, we may know each other already to a degree, but this will help it go a step further. So then we can outwork all the one another's of Scripture. And if you want to look in up one another's in Scripture, you'll find there's loads of them in the New Testament, particularly about what we do for one another. Love one another, care for one another, support one another, bear each other's burdens, pray for one another, serve one another. Lots and lots of one another's. This gives an opportunity of that being up close and personal with people that you're going to meet with regularly and get to know and invest time in each other. So following the equipping track together. Now that doesn't necessarily mean you'll be in the same place on that equipping track, but you'll certainly be on the equipping track and you'll be able to encourage others. Hey, I did that and it was really helpful. You know, to those who are thinking, well, what's all that about? Because we're sharing our testimony of what God's doing in it. So true discipleship is when we can give away to others what we have experienced through our own testimony. It isn't theory. It can only be what we've already experienced ourselves, which is why this is an experiential thing. So much discipleship in the past has been information rather than experience. And therefore we've shared with people a discipleship booklet, not our own lives. And you can only truly disciple someone in something that you've already experienced. So we want to experience everything so we can help others to experience those things for themselves. So freely giving away to others what we freely received so that they can then do the same. Because what we model, they will be able to model in their own way. So discovering and developing a supernatural lifestyle. And that means being able to engage in intimacy with God inside, in heaven, all the things that we're learning to do. So modeling all those experiential ways of encountering God. So what we'll do will be experiential, otherwise it won't be effective. Just like the, you know, fresh start, it's about helping people engage personally in those things for themselves, which is why we do activations and things. So it's all through those new ways of doing things. So new ways of engaging the Word of God, prayer, ministry, authority, the courts, the mountains, the thrones, all those things, eventually will help others to operate in them, so that every person can discover their destiny. That's the point in this whole thing. If we're only trying to get people to fit into something which is a structure, then they will try and fit into something which is not necessarily them. But I believe God will put us together in such a way that we complement each other and fulfill our destiny, because God has called us to be part of something that is doing that. So it's about helping people find their identity, their roles, their positions, their responsibilities as sons in heaven on earth. Identity, position, authority, purpose. And those are the sorts of things that the groups are designed to do. Now, how do you do that? I don't know. In a sense, we have to discover how to do that. And it will be different for every group. And how you do it will be different, but you'll still be doing it. Because essentially, if we don't know who we are, we won't know how to fulfill the position that God's given us and use the authority that brings. And to populate all our sub-mountains. Because we will be sharing, hey, here's the things that we're called to do. We have authority in these areas who feels called to be part of those. And by sharing the DNA of the group and the mandate for each group and helping people to be part of that, they will find, hey, they fit into a sub-mountain. In fact, they will actually be determining what the sub-mountains are, just like we've done with the other mountains. As a bench of three, we didn't say, this is what you're supposed to do, this is your mandate. It was like, you are authorized to go and get your mandate so that you'll find out what to do. And the same will be for the sub-mountains. They will determine what the mandates and the blueprints are for those mountains. Those people are on them. Because we want to replicate the same basic thing, hearing God for yourself, being able to get a mandate for your own life, and then working that together with others to be part of the overall thing that God has called us to be part of. So that will mean developing intimacy and relationship with God and each other. And if we're all superficial and we're not open and honest and transparent, then it won't work. So we have to learn to be that. Learn to be vulnerable with God and each other. And that's not always easy, because we may have come from different things that will restrict us in that, but we have to try and create an environment where that becomes easier and more comfortable. And you will have found that as you've engaged with your benches, then you've become more open and honest with each other in that environment, and that will be eventually what will go outwards. So hearing God's voice, seeing what the Father's doing, is a key if we're going to function and do what God wants. Outworking those things in a daily lifestyle. Now, the group can't live someone's life for them, but it can provide a source of encouragement and support and a place for lifestyle issues to be helped and supported and ministered to, and restrictions and blockages and court cases can be done, and all the basic things that we've learned can be replicated within each group. Now, we must learn to develop our circles of influence. So as individuals, we have the spheres that we're part of. Jesus described that as Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth or the world. Now, that means that we need to see how we can be, as an individual, a platform for someone to exchange their old life for new. Now, who could I reach out to with the good news? Who could I be good news to? Who could I be light to? How do I develop building the bridges to the people that are in my circles in my life and help them find Jesus? Now, we've been really, really poor at that as a church. It's not something that is one of our strengths. And we get 70 people who are in here or more every day, and we're not seeing a whole stream of them come and join the church yet. So there's something that God is going to have to do to begin to change how we view engaging the world around us individually and corporately, and how the exchange helps and supports that is something which they will no doubt develop. But they cannot take our personal responsibility, and the group can support that. Actually think about, how do we build a bridge to make friends with people we would see come into the kingdom? How can we remove the hindrances and blockages? How can we do court cases to remove things? How can we pray for them? How can we engage? So we have to think about beyond ourselves to those who God would want to bring into and be part of the harvest. So there will be opportunities that we all have that we probably don't see. And we can help each other see those things. So we need to sow and reap and keep. So what will the groups actually do? Creative environment of security, trust and honor. That's something which I think is fundamental if they're going to work, that they have to be a place where we can learn to trust one another and grow. Establish the relationships of sharing through sharing heart and testimony. Testimony is such a powerful thing. You know, we share it Sundays. We probably will need to give an opportunity for sharing it every time we meet, because that's part of encouraging people to, A, give praise and thanks to God, but also be real about what's going on in their lives. And some of the testimonies will be here on a Sunday. I shared this in my group and they did this together and this was the result. Yeah, and that will be a really positive thing to take place. So practice doing all the things that we are learning to do. Meditate in the word, activations, encounters. Practice those things. Minister to each other. There will be opportunity, no doubt, to do some things to help each other. And that might be done one-to-one. It could well be done corporately, so we all learn. Learning environment. Reach out to others. Demonstrate the flavor or the fragrance of the group DNA and identity. And that's just you being you in the context of what your the face that you're representing and the group that you're representing is. Now, if you're a media group, then no doubt you're going to talk about media things, because that's what you share in common. That's the stuff which floats your boat. You know, that, you know, you're not going to be talking about something that you don't relate to. So it will have a particular emphasis on the things that you share and you want to share and encourage each other in. You know, so look at, think about that. And you, we also had some of those things. Well, this is what our group would be like. Well, to start with, you're going to have to be joined with some others. So you're going to have to share that and see, well, how does that reflect the face that I'm representing right now? You know, whether that be the priestly or the apostolic or the prophetic or the kingly. So have a common identity, purpose, engage heaven together. You know, what we don't want to do is do something that doesn't demonstrate how we do something, if you see what I mean. So, oh, well, we're, certain people only say what we do. No, we need to learn to hear God to tell us what we do. Now, we can practice that together in different ways by engaging and seeking God and asking him to minister. Engaging the angelic realm. It's like one of the things that we're seeing all around us, individually, corporately, you know, there will be an angel assigned to your group or angels. Find out who they are and engage with them. That will be fun. You know, and then they can engage with your personal angels. That will be fun. You know, that's the sort of stuff which, you know, is a great opportunity. Teach and activate. You are going to have to do some stuff, you know, and some people will find that that's more of a flavor of what they do and other people won't. But you don't have to teach as in with a PowerPoint. You know, teaching really is, hey, here's how I do this. Let's do it. So activating it is the important part. So putting into practice everything, you know, love, first love, our garden, cleansing our gateways, cultivating all the garden of our heart, all those sorts of things. Flowing through the world, you know, those are sort of the basic things which we'll start learning to do. You know, you're unlikely to be engaging with the court of 70 on the first week, you know, but eventually you might. Who knows? You know, but what you can do is meet with Jesus, you know, and engage him. So learning to be living sacrifice. So both pathways, you know, it's the relational pathway and the responsibility pathway, and see them parallel. Not, well, I got to do all this first and then eventually we'll get onto that. You know, it's actually, they run parallel and you can learn to do both. So engaging the ark, helping people to discover their positions in mountains in heaven. You know, just like we did when we did the Joshua Generation groups. Eventually, everyone had a mountain. You know, when we started, no one even knew how to walk the path. You know, but we got to the point where everyone was able to see this mountain. They started seeing mountain ranges. And it was really exciting to see that happen. And a group can grow and mature and develop so that everyone will be in the same place of, hey, I never thought I could do this, but hey, I'm doing it. You know, legislate together. Get group laws. Get group legislation. Get group declarations. Do court cases together. You know, so you can do all those things together, you know, so that eventually we can start to build bridges into the community, grow, engage with our circle of contacts and all those things. So we need someone and some people who are going to say, yes, I would really like to actually help facilitate getting this started. Does anyone got any questions? You know, you've all got things that you've already posted, so some of those things you've already been thinking about. But if there are any questions, feel free to ask any. As soon as we got people who say they're willing to actually facilitate them, and we get together and find out what is it you want to help support it. In a sense, we don't want to start and then people say, oh, we don't know what to do. So in a sense, you know, this will be available. You can go over this and look at this, see, well, actually, this gives plenty of things that we could do, but actually each group has to discover for themselves what they do every time they meet. You know, but it should be sort of fairly relational and organic and how it works. And you'll find that things will come up that you need to deal with and things that happen. And, you know, but you have to find ways of making that environment comfortable as it can be for people to begin to be sharing and talking and, you know, being open with one another to move forward. So, you know, I would hope we can get them going as soon as we can. I'm going to commit myself to a date. But, you know, at the moment, I think there's a few people that have said yes, they would like to do that. So we have two faces that have said yes so far. And if anyone else would like to be involved with the other two faces, which is the lion and the man, then we can begin to start, you know. And some of that will be initially with those people getting together and supporting them in the starting point and giving some confidence and that, hey, you can do this and it won't be that difficult, but we have to start. Mm-hmm. So that's really where it is. And if you're thinking, well, I'm not sure I can do that, then ask why and what's stopping you. You know, what would stopping you saying, I'm willing to facilitate a group or be part of three people who are going to facilitate a group? So you do it together. Ideally, it would be great if we could have three people for each face. Now, sometimes there's only two groups, you know, so that would mean two from one and one from the other or whatever. Let's, you know, look for opportunities to engage rather than opportunities not to. Just to actually say, in terms of doing governmental things, if we knew what we knew now when we started, we wouldn't have done what we would have done the way we've done it. You know, because we're on a journey of discovery, and you can look back in hindsight and think, oh, yeah, that would have been much easier if we'd done this or whatever. But we've learned, you know, and they've been learning and growing opportunities of how we overcome things. We've had to do court cases all along the way to try and deal with the dynamics that are often in place, hindrances and blockages. So, you know, we really see an ongoing learning curve, you know, for these things. You know, sometimes you just can't plan everything ahead. You're only going to discover things when you do it, you know. And I'm sure we'll discover things about groups that we didn't necessarily foresee. But that's okay, because we have someone we can go to get the information and the revelation to be able to deal with any eventuality and situation that arises. So what we are going to do, in terms of people being involved in governmental positions, in the future we will deal with it differently. What we wanted to do in the beginning was give people an opportunity of having a go at these things, and we didn't know how much support or how much teaching, even if we had it at the time, you know, to be able to do it, to put in place, you know. And probably, you know, we could have, looking back, put more things in place, but those things are beginning to be there now. And once we've got the governmental booklet, you know, we have all the legislative teaching that goes into this is what government's about in terms of practically, that now is available for people, everyone here to listen to. So what we're going to do in that process is everyone that we're going to feel called to government, then we want to put a process to help people come into that position. So that where we are is when people are going to be appointed to benches, then we're going to meet with them. So if someone feels called, or someone else within a bench, I think I would maybe like to invite this person. Well, you know, feel free to invite them, but then there will be a process that they need to go through, which will be they will meet with the bench of three, either individually or with a group of people who might be interested in or being called to be part of bench. That might be with the three of us or one of us, but they will meet. And then essentially the booklet and the teaching, we will encourage people to have listened to that and read that, so that they then can come with any questions, and then we'll meet again. Now, that will be feedback and questions and answers both ways, because actually we want to be in a place of being confident that those people feel confident themselves as much as you can possibly do it without doing it, you know, rather than, well, have a go and then we'll try and sort out all the problems later. If we can provide something initially to help people, then we will try and do that in the future. And then we, when there's an agreement, you know, because by the time the person's gone through that, they might think, well, that's not for me right now, you know. But on the other hand, they might be saying, yeah, I'm really keen. And we might be thinking, well, we might have a few reservations there. It might be good that they did this or did that. And we have to be open for that process to take place. But eventually there'll be a private investiture, which is what we've done before, and then a public one. And that will be the basic process of people coming into a governmental position in the future. Does that sort of make sense? But, you know, I again want to thank you for all your participation in the journey, in the process, and the difficulties have been overcome, and your willingness to go through those things and learn, and, you know, it's appreciated, you know, because I know there aren't many places that are doing this, if any, you know, and therefore it isn't easy, and there is opposition, and, you know, the enemy wants to stop us. And therefore, we have to push through that and learn to overcome it and grow through it and do things better as we go forward. You know. Okay. All right. So please, 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 you know, really, really consider and ask God, you know, if you should be part of facilitating a group with others. And then once we've got all the brochures produced, then we're going to have to encourage those people already in the church to be part of a group. You know, and to choose to be part of a group. With all the potential things that that might bring. You know, I'm not minimizing how that would potentially work, you know, because it's going to be fun, isn't it, when, you know, one partner says, well, I really want to be in the group with my husband, and there's someone, actually, I don't want to be in the group with my wife, you know, which could happen, because you might feel be called to different things, you know, and you might feel, oh, this doesn't quite fit this way, but you've got to work those things out, You know, and as I said, ask God where you should be. You know, the bottom line, ask God where you should be. You know, and don't make an assumption. Ask him. You know, and then you only have to be obedient, don't you? Yeah. But it is only once a fortnight. You know, so it isn't you're going to spend your life apart if you're couples. You know. But who knows? You may be in the same area, and that will be fine. So let us know, please, sooner rather than later, you know, so we can take the next steps.